Often people are, like I've just said, are waiting on God to do something, and yet in most cases, God's already done everything that we're going to need him to do. There's so much in the cross that we don't appreciate, and yet so many people are missing out on the fact that they do not know. So this morning I want to talk about redeeming the time. Because often we look at our lives as when God does something, when something happens, and we've got this idea, this notion that, you know, when God does, but God is always doing, and he's always moving, and he's always equipping, he's always strengthening and building us. But it's only when we sometimes look back and we appreciate where we've come from that we realize that we've actually been on the move. If you've got a Bible, I'm going to be talking from Ephesians chapter 5. But words will come up on the screen, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 onwards, I'm trying to put this in context. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Paul really amazed me. He doesn't pull his punches, does he? In other words, we once were living in darkness before we knew Jesus. We once were in a dark place, maybe even our minds, maybe in our hearts, but the fact was we were still in a dark place. But when we became Christians, we entered into the light of God. And he says, now that you are in the light of the Lord, live as children of the light and find out what pleases the Lord. I think that's an interesting one, because by saying find out what pleases the Lord, it means we need to discover it. It seems so simple, yet we miss out so much because we need to find out what pleases the Lord. Now, you spend a relationship with anybody, you find out what they like and what they don't like. You find out what sort of, I know that Hope loves milk tray. And every now and then I buy her some and I give her them, and there you are. And I'm trying to show her what she should expect from any prospector that comes her way. Any guy that comes her way, I'm trying to teach her what she should expect. Set your things high and go for it. But we find out what pleases the people around us. We find out what pleases, you know, our spouses. But the Bible tells us, find out what pleases the Lord. Well, we know that, you know, faith actually pleases the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord, it says. So we need to act and respond in faith. Verse 11, it says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." That doesn't mean we run around pointing a finger. It just means, in contrast, live a life that is actually the opposite of what most people do. It is interesting nowadays that the conversations are good. I don't get into politics too much, but in one sense, I know there's a lot of mess up with different people, but I don't like the idea that people are having a go at the politicians themselves. Have they got their policies? Have they got their history, the fact that they've told lies and lies and lies? But I don't like it when they have a go at the person. You know, when they're derogative at the person. Have they got the policies? Have they got the parties or whatever? But not the person. Look at the history. Look at what they've done and what they've said. But they're having a go at the character of a person, dragging people down. I don't think that's really right. We shouldn't be like that. We should look at, if you are, by the way, the voters coming up, I always say this, I can't tell you to vote for, but do vote. Don't complain afterwards about politics if you didn't vote. Get on with it, vote. Even if, I know it's a strong old area around here on one certain party, but, you know, it's your vote and your vote counts. So do think about it. I've nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful to even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But with everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it said, and I love these verses. This really complicated me got me thinking for a long while. When it said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." In the context, Paul's actually talking about people that are Christians, but they're asleep. Now, if you're sleeping amongst dead people, not that you would, but if you found yourself sleeping amongst dead people, the only difference would be how you would know somebody were alive or dead is if they wake up. So if there's four dead people and somebody's laid amongst them who's alive but pretending to be dead, looking like they're asleep. The only way you find out is if they wake up. And the Bible tells us to wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. It's not that we are literally rising from the dead, but we need to get out of our sleepiness, our slumber, and Christ will shine upon you. And verse 15 and 16 is really where I want to get into. But it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. For the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. We really need a translation on that one. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last verse that most people ignore is submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I do like the idea, though, of singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, where you can just imagine people in the back cat you, how are you doing? You know, trying to sing a psalm to somebody. You know what I mean? Rocking up with a song or a hymn or a chorus or something. People would look at you going out, wouldn't they? Like, okay. No, let's move along from there. But verse 15 and 16 is what I want to get into. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honour, purpose and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. We're living in a time where people enable evil and tolerate, or being tolerant is okay as long as you agree. See, people say we've got to be tolerant, but in a problem is that tolerance means I accept you and you accept me, but we can have difference of opinions. That's not the tolerance they're looking at. The tolerance they're talking about is we can get on with each other as long as you agree with the general public, the standard. That's not tolerance. That's just, you know, tolerance is letting each other have different opinions. Where were we anyway? Keep going off on one here, don't I? Tolerance enabling evil. Not as unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people. That's you guys. Making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using with wisdom and diligence. Because the days are filled with evil. The New King James puts it this way. See that you walk circumspectly. I like that word. Circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I'm talking more about redeeming the time. And the truth is, we can do nothing about past. This moment back, you cannot do anything about it. And tomorrow, you cannot do anything about that, neither, till you get there. And yet many people, and including Christians, live lives where they constantly have regrets of what was and fear of what might be instead of living in the now of what is. Now, we need to make plans and you know, work out what's going to be, get pensions, plan for the future, save up, whatever you want to do, and go for that. But realistically, we're encouraged to live for now. So there's three words, really, I want to tackle, and it's a couple of words, really. Be careful is the first one. Redeem the time and time itself. Paul uses these three statements, these three words, these three things to actually pull out and encourage us to be very careful how we live. So be careful how you walk, number one, if you're taking notes. The idea is that we as believers are commanded to continually take heed, be alert, and discern with the Spirit enables us, giving us a vision for our lives and taking hold of things. We need to be careful how we walk. Being careful means think about what you're doing. Think about it. I know some people who spend hours and hours, if not weeks, checking out the latest phone before they go purchase it, but then we'll run into another decision without even thinking about it. I mean, nobody would actually run into a marriage without seriously thinking about it. Maybe some would, I don't know. But nobody would really, there's certain things you do in life that you would really think it through, but yet the Bible encourages us to think every decision through. Think about it. I often say this, I need to do things that's got eternal value. Everything I try to do needs to have eternal value. Now, eating pizza might not have eternal value, but if I eat pizza all the time, it might cause me problems, which means my life's cut short, and therefore I don't have eternal value. But we need to do things that's got eternal value. Spurgeon said this. He actually says, talk about these verses. See then that you walk circumspectly, being very careful and considerate of all circumstances and all possible consequences, not carelessly, not thinking that it is of no importance how you live, but looking all around you, walk circumspectly, watching lest even in seeking one good thing, you spoil another. Sometimes you want one thing, but actually it can spoil. I think as Christians, sometimes we put up with the good and we forfeit the best. Sometimes we put up with something that's okay because we don't want to push through for what's even better that's ahead of us. Spurgeon was an interesting guy and had a lot of good things to say about some stuff. In other words, if we walk wisely, we will be careful not to let the good steal God's best. If we walk wisely, we won't let the good steal God's best. Sometimes we do live up and stop at good when something's better ahead of us. Some of you guys got more abilities in you, but because you're doing okay, you think that's fine. And yet there's more in you that God can use and bring forward. A guy called Charles Utley, he says this, the greatest danger is letting the urgent, the secular things, crowd out the important divine things. Our problem is that too often we live life by its demands instead of by God's priorities. Remembering that life is too short for us to do everything we want to do, but it's long enough for us to do everything God wants us to do. A question I asked ages ago is, why does everybody else's problems erupt on Sunday morning and they feel they have to ring you? Why do all problems land on a Sunday morning or at the Bible study night or the important meeting? Why is it when you decide you're going to set some time for God and you're going to read your Bible, does somebody ring you? Okay, thanks, ring us back in 10 minutes. Why is that? And why is it sometimes we think we've got to jump? Now, hear me clearly. There was a time once I'm cutting the lawn. Cutting the grass with my petrol lawnmower. It wasn't a big lawn, but I just had a big lawnmower. I'm cutting the grass, and Hope's on the trampoline bouncing around that, and we didn't have a net round it because, you know, we taught them not to fly off it. But she did a somersault. She fell off it. Something stabbed into her side, and I heard above the noise of the lawnmower that piercing sound that no parent ever wants to hear. At that moment, I didn't go, I am cutting the grass, dear. You'll have to wait. I let go of a lawnmower, which ran into the edge, rattled around for a while and stalled. Well, I swept her up, covered her side and ran into the house with her. There are times when we need to respond and we need to run. But often we need to be very careful that there's other times where we can say, hang on a minute. Why is it everybody else's agenda they feel can overrule our agenda before God? I have people ringing me going, Johnny, we'd love to see you. I said, I'd love to see you. What are you doing Sunday morning? I said, I'm in church. Well, can you miss a Sunday morning? No, I cannot. And you might say, well, it's okay for you because you work. But actually, I've held that standard all my life. If you want to see me, come see me on Saturday night. No, we're going out. Well, you don't want to see me then, do you? If they want to come and see me, it's, you know, in a sense, I'm doing them a favour. No, I'm not. Well, we won't get there. But you need to be careful how we walk, how we spend our time, what we do with our lives, because people are watching us all the time. People are watching you, seeing what's going on, and you don't always see it, but we need to be careful how we watch. So the second point I've got here is we need to redeem the time, or the word redeem. Redeem the time. The word redeem, there's a Greek word there, up there, if you can see it. I can't pronounce it. Literally means to buy back from a market. That's what it means. To redeem means to buy it back from a market. It means that it's, in a sense, building a picture of somebody who goes into the marketplace and looking around for opportunities, looking around for the best buy without getting ripped off, looking around for something. The Bible often talks about it. It talks about a guy that went looking for a pearl of great value and sold everything when he found it and went and got it. And somebody who found treasure in a field, he went and bought the field and then got the treasure. Redeem is to literally buy from a marketplace, which is what we've been done. Anybody who's become a Christian, the Bible says you've been redeemed. And it conjures up this picture that we're all like slaves in a market. Now, you know, you can watch certain programs, and what I do know about, especially in Roman times, slaves were of no value. They were only good enough for what they could do. And, you know, you had no rights to your own life. It was just a case of, if somebody bought you for sex, that were it. If they bought you to work in a mine, that were it. If they bought you to clean the pigs out, that were it. That were your job. And there's a picture that we have been redeemed out of darkness into light, where we were in the marketplace being abused by the devil and all the odds there, being abused by the world. And Jesus came along and said, I'm buying you. I'm buying you. I'm having you. And he set us free. He didn't just buy us to do a job. He bought us and set us free. And in the setting us free, we then go, but Lord, what do you want us to do? And he said, I want you to work in my vineyard or work in my farm or work in my kingdom. And then he said, be careful then how you walk in that kingdom. We've been bought out of that. And it cost him his blood. It cost him his life. So we could be bought. That's how valuable you are. That somebody laid down their life for you. Redeem is in the present tense. No, redeeming the time, it's in the present tense. It's a continuation, redeeming it constantly. Like I said, what's past is past. You can't do nothing about it. You can regret. But by regretting, you're wasting time. Okay, I've said this before. When's the best time to plant a tree, a fruit tree? Well, 30 years ago. But if you didn't do it 30 years ago, now is the best time to plant a tree. Because in 30 years, you can't be whinging about it if you don't do it today. You need to do today, which is going to produce fruit in the future. Redeeming is in the present tense, which calls us to make our lifestyle, our daily walks, every moment by moment, our practices. We need to, in a sense, to make the best of every situation and make it have eternal value. You know, sometimes I can be heading somewhere and somebody will ask me a question about God and I'll stop. Because that's talking about eternal things. There's other times when people just want to waffle on and it's like, thank you, I'm going. The thing, the reason why we've got this phone line is because it could add eternal value to situations and circumstances. And I know we're busy, but I wonder sometimes, are we really that busy? Are we really that busy? Because generations ago, you know, if somebody were going to do the washing, it would take them 2 hours to do the washing. Nowadays, it takes you 5 minutes to load it up, pick out the best things and, you know, colour catchers and your washing tablet or whatever it is, eh? I know these things. I mean, you've got to get it out. I mean, you've got a choice. Do I put it in the dryer if you've got one, or do I hang it up? Or put it on the radiators, whichever. But it don't take like they used to do, rubbing it around and putting it in that twin tubs. I remember them. You know what I mean? With little hose pipe out into the sink and fill it up, empty it out. They used to take for hours cooking. Years ago, it used to take hours to make a meal. Nowadays, I mean, our chicken's already in the crock pot, cooking away for when we get home. It doesn't take. Do we have as much time? We don't even work the hours. Average hours used to be 50 hours a week. 50 hours a week. 50 hours a week. I mean, most people don't even do 40. So do we have the time? Well, we do have the time. It's just we fill our time with things that may not have eternal value. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says this. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but that what is unseen is eternal. We fix our eyes on things that we can't always see. We do what's done right with eternal value. Every new day brings us 24 hours. You can't put it in a bank. You can't put your time in a bank and say, I'll collect it later. If you don't use it, it's gone. But we all get 24 hours, 1,444 minutes, Seconds is 86,000 seconds. And each one of us is a precious gift from God. All the time that God gives us is a precious gift to you. Time is not a burden. God's given us time to use it wisely. James says this in James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, of the heavenly lights. Every good gift, and time is a good thing. Use it wisely. You know, and I believe strongly that one day we'll all have to give an account for how we've used our time. The Bible does say we'll all have to give account for every careless word spoken. But I do think that when we get to heaven, God will have to ask us to give us an account for our lives. I'm not talking about putting a big screen up saying, well, you did this and you did this and you. But he'll just say, what did you do with your life? I called you to do this. What did you do? Well, I had a busy life, Lord. No, but I called you because you were the right person for that. And I would hate to get to heaven realizing that I missed an opportunity to speak to somebody who's now not got there because of me. We'll all have to give account. In a recent survey, I believe this was a survey in the US, they asked one of the questions was, what do you have to live for? It's an interesting question. What do you have to live for? No, 94% answered that they were just enduring today and living for tomorrow. If I can get past today, then maybe tomorrow my ship might come in, or you know, this. We were growing up, it was quite funny. My dad used to do the polls. Anybody remember them? You know, my dad used to do them, and he'd say, "This week, has he spent money that we needed?" Spent the money on the pools because this week we might win. And we never did. We never did. Those football matches were rigged. They never came out. The draws never came in. And for weeks, months, years, this week. If we can just get past it. I was laughing earlier with somebody about, you know, somebody used to come and, you know, if anyone knocked on the door, if they knocked on the front door, we used to hide. Because we spent the money on the pools. Instead of paying the debts. I mean, we lived in a council house which had a nice door at the front, but nobody ever used it. Only debt collectors came, and the police came to that door. We had a gate at the side and a German Shepherd behind it, and everybody who knew us knew the dogs, so they just walked straight in. And if they didn't know us, they'd have to knock on the front door. The dogs would go wild, and we'd hide. You know, standard, hide the telly, hide this. In fact, by the age of 10, I owned the telly. My brother owned the video player. You know, my sister owned the city. So debt collectors couldn't take it. Just where we grew up. But the truth is that many people are trying to get past today because tomorrow it might get better. But today it's getting better if you make wise choices. Today is a day to redeem the time and make the best of it. You know, hoping things get better tomorrow and enduring today. If that's not living wise, you know, what do you have to live for? And do your actions back that up? Many people say, you know, I'm living for God, I'm doing this for God, but their actions never actually look like that. They're just trying to get by. Too many people miss today because they are worrying about tomorrow. Too many are living in today, wishing they'd done something in the past, and even spoiling today. But many people are spoiling today by worrying about what might be tomorrow. You know, Jesus reminds us this, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow when it's here. I like that. Have you ever thought about it? Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow never really comes. Because if I'm worrying about tomorrow, technically Monday, when I get to Monday, tomorrow's Tuesday. And when I get to Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday. So I can't worry about anything in the future because he says, don't worry about tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. So I think that's pretty well chilled me out now because I just go, you know what? Tomorrow's God's problem. Today's my problem. And the past is forgiven. And that's dealt with. The guy says this, we face the future out of breath because we have been fighting tomorrow's battles today. Have you ever talked to somebody and all they're going on about is what might be? What might be? What might be? I've told you this before. When we were in America and the plane got bumped and we got taken off the plane and we went to this nice hotel and we're in this massive hotel, plane full of people, I took the opportunity. There's a pool. There's a gym. There's a restaurant. There's a lake. Me and Ethan were out there. We were in the opportunity. There were people queuing up, ranting, raving, screaming. They're not going to take, not going to leave me and Ethan and Hope. We just went out there, take the opportunity. Jose going, we need to sort this out. Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? We'll sort itself out. We'll be home. We're not going to leave us here, have we? And we were having a great time. Well, people were stressed out, complaining, worrying. We were sunbathing with our slurp or whatever it was. Because they actually give us $150 well there, so each. So I'm going, spend the money, guys. Joe's panicking. Steve were panicking. Other people's panicking. We just redeemed the time, seized the moment. People saying, well, shouldn't you have been worried about it? Worried about what? When the queue goes down, I went up and said, is anything I need to know? They said, no. I goes, fine, I'm out of here again. Where some people were stressing. What about work? What about it? Sorry, I can't go into work. I'm stuck in America in this great 5-star hotel. I'm paying for everything. Enjoy, I said to Joe, 2 days off work, maybe. Kids were loving it. 2 days off school. Woohoo! Let's do it. Or worry about it. Stress about it. I forgot totally where I am. Wisdom is taking every opportunity today and fully using it, using the time that we've got. You've no more time than anybody else. People keep telling me, I've no time. You've only got the same time. Use it wisely. Use every moment you can. Instead of trying to kill time, redeem it. How much time do we waste? Or on the remote control or watches. If you haven't got time, stop watching rubbish. If you have got time, watch some rubbish. And if you've got it, go for it. You know, instead of counting the days, why don't you make your days count? I've said this, if we've got another 20 years ahead of you, you know, that's 500 Sundays. 1,000 Sundays. 1,000 Sundays. That's, if you're 60 now, but if you make it to 80, that's 1,000 Sundays. Enjoy them. Make the best of them. Right, see ya. I'm off to Tesco's. Off you go. No, enjoy. Make the best of it. I've never known anybody, and I've not seen that many people on their deathbeds. But one thing is common. On people's deathbeds, they're not going, I wish I'd spent more time at work. I wish I'd, you know, spent more time. All they ever go on about is, I'm glad I spent time with my family. Or, I wish I'd spent more time with my family. I wish I'd... Pride stops us doing the things that God's got for us because we think we deserve something. And yet pride can stop us so much. Time is a seed of eternity. To make our lives count for eternity, we must be wise in how we spend our time today. Tomorrow's another day. Yesterday's gone. We need to move on. The Bible says this, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their stories. You know, telling people about Jesus is actually redeeming time. What story can you tell people? What story have you got that you can tell? People might disagree with the Bible and might disagree with this and disagree with that, but you can tell your story. Jesus has done this for me. I was walking around a factory recently because they've asked me to do a roof. I don't like doing roofs anymore. I'm getting too old. But they want me to do a roof. And they want me to... I mean, 10 years ago when I did it, I went up with a ladder. And all I'm doing is washing down the skylights with a brush and a bucket watch. That's it. Took me about 2 hours last time. They asked me to do it again. But this time, I need to get the place scaffolded. I said, why? In case you fall off. I went, I'm not planning on that. So I've got to get ropes. I've got to have harnesses. I've got to have scaffolding. I've now told I've got to have netting underneath in case I fall through. You know, I've done it about 4 times. I've never fallen through. And I'm not going to fall through. Not that I can walk on water or anything, but I'm not going to fall through. But things have changed. So what would have cost a couple hundred quid 10 years ago is going to cost thousands now. And I just think to myself, well, but while I was doing this, I'm trying to think why I'm telling you this story. Hello. The reason I'm telling you this story is because I asked the guy who was looking around me, how's his boss getting on? Because I know his boss. And he told me he's sick and he's done this and he's that and he's ill. And I goes, wow. I said, what's up with him? He said, well, they think this and they think that. I goes, let me tell you a story. So I told him my story about how the doctor said you this and how God healed and how the doctor said this and then God's healed me. And I told him that story. And he's looking around and he says, I don't believe in God. I'm going, well, good job, you're not the sick woman, isn't it? I said, because I do and I'm healed. And he went, okay. So I said, when you get sick, give us a ring. We'll pray for you, you'll be healed. He said, I think I'll do that. But you can tell your story. You know, John Wesley actually wrote this in a letter to his wife. He says, redeem the time, catch the golden opportunity that they fly. May the Spirit enable us to live wisely and catch the golden moments as they fly by. Amen. Almost sounds like a speech from, you know, sell, sell, buy, buy. But I'm just telling you to enjoy. Use every moment. I decided many years ago always to take Mondays off when my kids were young, because I wanted to see them grow up. So even though I had my own business and I was self-employed building, I used to take Monday. And people say, you're crazy. You could earn so much money. But I didn't want my daughter coming home to me saying, Dad, I'm engaged. And I'm looking at her going, when did you grow up? Because I see so many parents, you know, trying to earn everything and do everything, earn all the money so they can do great things. And they go on holiday and they're stressed out instead of spending time. It doesn't annoy me, though, when we get an insect day coming up, which is coming up. But we've decided we're off climbing, so that'll be fine. We'll go off climbing, it'll be a good day. We can spiritualize it because there's a song called When I Go Climbing, Climbing, Climbing. When I Go Climbing, God is there. And we get there going. Anyway, the third point. Time. The word time is actually better translated opportunity. It's not talking about tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. It's seizing the time. Seizing the moment. Carpe diem. Bit of Latin for you. Seize the day. Seize the day. Well, you may. Grab hold of it. Take hold of it. Don't waste it. Use the time. Make the best of every opportunity. Take hold of it. You know, many people look back wishing. I don't know if you've ever been places and someone's asked you, would you like to do this? And you go, no, 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 no. But then later wish you had. I just think, have a go. Go for it. As long as it's not illegal or sinful. Have a go. Do stuff. Have a laugh. Because you'll only regret it later on. I try not to live with regrets. If I can't do it, it's done with. It's over and done with. That's it. Live for today and pray for tomorrow. The word opportunity is derived from a Latin word called doportiu. I'm not good on that Latin. But it literally means, in ancient times, ships would come up to the harbour and they'd wait. Because unlike today, you needed a tide or wind. And they would seize the moment, the opportunity. When the tide was coming, the ships would all rise and come in to the harbour and tie up before the tide went down. And they would wait. If they missed that opportunity, they had to wait for the next tide. Unfortunately for some of us, that opportunity may never come around again. And we're living in a cycle waiting for something to happen again, which might never happen. I have to have this to Ethan sometimes. I go, if you see a girl you like, just, you know, if you want to ask her out, don't waste your time. Just go ask her out. He says, what? She says, no. That goes, then you move on to the next one. Well, that's what I were like. But no point, oh, I wonder if she'll say yes or no for 6 weeks. I used to ask them if they said no, which was unlikely, but some did. They did. I'm still can't get over that one. But some of them did. And then I'd move on to the next one. Because I thought, I don't know. You check it out with your mates. What do you think she'll say? But I just think, seize the moment. Seize the time. Get on with it. And I think that's why teachers used to make you sit outside the office for so long, wasting time, giving you time to think about what you've done, allegedly done anyway, in my case. There was no evidence except for 4 witnesses. Jonathan Edwards says this. He says, never lose one moment of time. This isn't the jumper, by the way. This is the evangelist. Evangelist from America years ago, not the jumper. He says, he resolved this, never to lose a moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. He also resolved to live with all the might while he did live. Well, I do live. Live with everything. Get up in the morning, jump out of bed, go for it. It don't matter, sluggish or not sluggish. Oh, it takes me an hour to wake up. No, it doesn't. If the house were on fire, you'd be out there like a shot. It's a lie. You don't need the coffee. You'd be going down that street in your underpants if your house were on fire. You just hope you're wearing them, don't you? Right ones. You'd be gone. If one of your kids shouted out in the middle of the night and something were going on, you'd be there, you'd like, you come, ding, you go for it. You just need to train yourself. I wake up in the morning and I get excited. God, what have you got me for today? And I think he's a sleepy one. Come on, what are we doing? Admittedly, not every morning. Sometimes I just want to, I like that picture. Ding, snooze. Never. Why is it we snooze? Because you know you're going to feel worse. That 10 minutes sleep is going to feel grotty, but you're snooze. You know, that's it. I've got a dog. Dog wants feeding. He's rattling around. I've got kids that are up. You know what I mean? So, hey, redeem the time. Time that is past, you can never recall. Time to come, you can never be sure of it all. Only the present is now in your power. Therefore, redeem and improve every hour. Hey, I nicked that from somebody. Surely God means for us to spend every minute on earth of great value. Paul says this in Philippians 2. He says, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine like stars in the world, holding fast to the word I preach, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or laboured in vain. That's my cry, that when I get to heaven, I don't look back thinking I've wasted my time. And I want you guys to consider, even if you look back, if it will have wasted, actually, no, time's really wasted. And there is a sense where you can redeem the time. God can make the best of the time you have left ahead of you. 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Give yourself fully for it. Go for it. You know, some people, when they're in love, just chuck everything and go for it. I've known people move halfway around the world because they're in love with somebody. And yet sometimes people won't do anything for God because it's too much hard work. In Psalms 31, 15, it says, my times are in your hands. God, our times are in your hands. Now we can make mistakes and stuff like that. Like Paul ended up in prison. Was he wasting his time in prison? He spent time witnessing, talking to people, writing half the New Testament and doing all sorts. Jesus, the only time he wasn't talking and ministering to people, he was eating or sleeping. You know, and he didn't even have social media. I mean, the early church were just as crazy as he was. Time is a strange commodity, and we can't save it, we can't relieve it, we can't stretch it, we can't borrow it, we can't loan it, we can't stop it, and we can't store it. But we can either spend it or lose it. Spend your time wisely. You know, sometimes if you've you might be a certain person who goes to the toilet and spends ages in there. Use that time wisely. Shove a book next to the loo. Might be better than paper. Just a thought. I'm not like that. In, stop, go.
Too much information.
Too much information. I ain't going to go any further on that one. Okay, John 9:4 says this. Now, I'll read this little bit here. A pioneering missionary, he actually said this, we shall have all eternity in which to celebrate our victories, but only one short hour before the sunset in which to win them. We need to stop celebrating before we cross the line. We can do that in eternity. We can have all the celebrations we want. John 9 says this, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who has sent me. Night is coming, and then no one can do any work. You can only work, well, it's like that in those days, but for us, you can only work while you're alive. People say, well, when I die, we'll kick the devil's head in. We can't kick the devil's head in. There's lots of things we can't do when we get to heaven. Number one, we can't fight the devil. Number two, we won't take communion, as in what we do. We'll be just one big party. And number three, you can't witness to people. When you get to heaven, you can't witness to people. You can testify, but you can't tell people about how to get saved because they'll already be saved if they're there. And the people who are on the other side won't be able to come across anyway. So, hey, it's a bit of a mess. So enjoy the time you've got down here. Make the most of it. It's as long... let me read what this is. It's not how long you live that counts, but how we live it. No matter how long you live. I heard a story of a 29-year-old. He died at 29, a man on fire for God. Totally on fire. And he went, and everyone's going, oh, why did God take him? God, I think God wanted him. He was like, you know, come with me, mate. And he's left a right legacy. It's only after we've gone will people often appreciate what we've done. It says this in Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with might. Do it, might. I mean, some of you might think, well, music might have been a bit loud. I don't know what it's like out there. Oh, it's a bit loud. These guys are doing it with might. Yeah. Slow down, Muppet. And they're going, they're all going for it. Do it with might. We do have a standard in this church, by the way. If Phil's air starts going backwards, it's too loud. Beyond that, we're just going to enjoy. So, make the best of it. I'm trying to finish. We'll quickly run through. Philippians 3:13 says this, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forget what is behind me, I strain forwards to what is ahead, I press on forwards to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Stop looking behind and start looking forward about what God has for you and what God's doing for you. Yesterday is past and cannot change. Tomorrow, you know, may not come. So we can make the most of every opportunity today. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. We need to just to continue what God's got for us. Colossians 4:5-6, it says this, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. Make the most of every opportunity. So I've got five things here that I'm just going to put down that might help you. Learn to live in the eternity now. You're up there, yeah. Today is the only day you have. What would you do differently if you knew tomorrow wasn't going to come? I'm not talking about Groundhog Day, but if you actually found out tomorrow's the last day for you. But the guy called Charles Capps, I don't know if anybody's heard of him, he's passed away. He was pretty hot in the 80s. And God told him 4 days, I believe, before he died, that he was going to die. So what, do you know what he did? He phoned all his mates up and got them all around and had a party. And God said, you're going on Sunday. So on Saturday, he just had a party. He said everything he wanted to say, celebrated everything he went, and then said goodbye to all, went home, and on Sunday, he just says, see you later. I'm going now. And went up to bed. Ding. Now, that's the way to go, isn't it? You know what I mean? But you've only got today. Stop saying, number two, if I had time, you already have time. Number three, stop worrying about tomorrow and stop worrying about tomorrow and waiting for tomorrow. Give God today and he will take care of tomorrow. Cut yourself loose from the past. Cut it back. And if you have not accepted Christ, if you're not a Christian, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Don't waste time. Don't waste your time. Make the best of it. The problem is we often think, you know, does it matter? I had to pull myself up on this one. Does it matter if I go in every night and just make sure kids are all right? You miss once and does it matter? Then you miss twice. And these are, you can put this in any sort of sphere with prayer and reading. You miss a week and suddenly the kids have grown up. Fortunately for me, I keep up with that. Because we take for granted that God will always be there. But the time that God has given us may not be there one day. And it'll be time for us to go home. Then we'll either have the tears that he wipes away because we wish we'd done things, or tears of celebration when we see him face to face. I want to get to heaven and God says to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Not you little time waster, but you're safe so you can come in anyway. I want a party when I get there. And I just think, you know, for you guys, if you do feel that you've wasted your life up to now, you know what you can do about it. Draw a line, whichever way you want to do it. Determine yourself, resolve yourself to say, okay, it's gone. But what I can do, I can move on from here. And then tomorrow comes, you can draw a line and say, I'm moving on from here. Forget what is bad. You might have messed up your entire life up to press. You can still draw a line and move on. The guy on the cross next to Jesus, he only had moments left. One said no and the other said yes. He made the best of his time, didn't he? Yeah. He did. He only had a few moments, but one didn't. And if, you know, some people get saved when they're young. Some people get saved when they're older. And the people get saved when they're older wish they'd got saved when we're younger. But there's nothing we can do about that. Enjoy the moments you're living in. But make in your heart that tomorrow is another day. But today, you can do the best. Enjoy. Amen.